So we're just reminded of a story of a tragic accident. Well, have you ever encountered a situation of suffering or loss and thought to yourself, I'd lose my faith in God if that happened to me? A friend develops ALS. A coworker's partner has an affair. A woman dies in a traffic accident after trying to help someone else. Have you ever encountered a situation of suffering or loss and thought to yourself, I'd lose my faith in God if that ever happened to me? My guess is that most of us have had these thoughts at one time or another. So let me ask you another question. Has there ever been an event, an experience that has prevented you from wholeheartedly embracing God, from putting your trust in Jesus? Maybe you have been through one of these very tragedies, and you haven't been able to square your pain with the promises that you encounter in the Bible. Maybe you feel that God has let you down. And so you are waiting for God to somehow make good, to prove God's faithfulness and love before you will ever really trust again. Has there been an event, an experience that has prevented you from wholeheartedly embracing God, from putting your trust in Jesus? Well, if your hand in your heart is, yeah, that's me, don't feel ashamed. I mean, the greatest men of the Bible, the greatest women of faith, had their doubts and had their questions. I mean, just consider today's gospel lesson. Today we hear how John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus with questions about his identity. Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we waiting, still waiting for another? Now, this is the same John the Baptist that the country folk and the city folk have been heading out into the wilderness to listen to. The same John that Jesus describes as the greatest prophet that has ever been born. Today we hear how this John is having doubts that Jesus is really the Messiah. Even after witnessing the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus, even after declaring that Jesus surpasses him, even after hearing about all the miracles that Jesus was doing, John has doubts and questions. So why do you suppose John has this trouble trusting Jesus? Well, maybe it's because John is in prison. Earlier in the gospel, we are told that John has been jailed for speaking truth to power. He called out King Herod for marrying his own sister-in-law. He said, Herod, you're breaking God's law. Well, Herod, understandably, threw him in jail. That's what kings do. Well, maybe it's the hardship of prison that gives John doubts about Jesus. When life gets difficult, we often question God. Of course, what we know about John is that he's no wimp. He has no trouble with hardship. I mean, he makes his home in the wilderness. He has locusts and honey for breakfast. Given all his experiences, you'd think that prison, well, that would be a pleasant experience for him. So maybe his trouble doesn't come from just being thrown in the slammer, but from the fact that his imprisonment prevents him from being able to see Jesus and witness those miracles firsthand. I mean, some of us have our own doubts about the reports, the stories we read in our Bibles, and seeing is believing. But remember, John isn't a child of modernism. His world isn't closed to God's intrusions. The people back then understood that the spiritual world and material world were intimately connected. So if he can believe that Jesus is doing miracles, then what's his problem? Well, it would seem to have something to do with his expectations. His expectations about what the Messiah is all about. You see, by Jesus' time, the focus of Jewish hope had become, well, rather political. Many Jews expected a Messiah who would deliver them from their Roman oppressors and reduce the burden of taxation. I mean, we were taxed too, but they were really taxed. The same John the Baptist who urged people to repent and embrace righteousness would have expected this kind of Messiah, someone who would come in and clean house among the leadership. I mean, just consider the sermon John had preached earlier in Luke. Speaking of the Messiah, this is what John says. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John, it would seem, has big political expectations for the Messiah. But what is Jesus actually doing? Well, he's not challenging Herod, at least not directly. No, Jesus is caring for the blind and the deaf, the sick and the lame. And while these miracles testify to God's power, Herod's still lounging about in his palace, and John the Baptist, he's in chains. John's problem is that Jesus was not acting the way John expected a Savior to act. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was not taking Herod's sin away. Now, today's gospel lesson shows us how the greatest prophet in history has questions, doubts about Jesus, which makes it more important for us to look at Jesus' response. What is Jesus' response? Well, Jesus doesn't answer John directly. Look, or stop looking. I am the Messiah. Or keep searching. Keep searching. I'm not your man. Instead, Jesus says, go back and tell John what you have just seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth have God's hospitality extended to them. Jesus doesn't answer John directly, but he does give John reason to reconsider his own expectations, to ponder maybe a little more about what Jesus is actually doing, not what he isn't doing. Now, I doubt that many of us have political expectations for Jesus. I mean, we've all won the global lottery. We are living in one of the safest, freest nations on earth. Added to this, most of us are comfortably middle class. I mean, we don't want an upheaval, right? We'd end up losing what we have. Few of us have many political expectations for Jesus, and yet I think that each of us has our own little list of what we think Jesus should be doing. I mean, we betray this when we say, if this ever happened, I'd lose my faith in God. God's not supposed to be allowing that to happen, right? We betray this when we think, until this happens, I can't really believe. I mean, God should have dealt with this a long time ago. We want God to live up to our expectations, to prove that God is worthy of our trust. But does Jesus ask John, "What can I do to prove myself to you?" No, Jesus simply declares, "Look, see, watch all that I am doing." It was 1995. I was at my last semester at the University of Alberta, and I was preparing to enjoy a holiday reading break. Reading break. Not a lot of reading going on during that time. But Friday evening, I received a call from my aunt. She said I needed to go home, to head home immediately. She told me that my sister had died. Now, Laurel was a couple years older than me. She was smart. She was pretty. But for her, life was always difficult. I remember when I was a teen that she didn't like our small town. And so, after pleading with my parents, she went off to boarding school. After graduating, she tried college, but later came home, well, kind of overwhelmed. Seemed that the mental illness that was chasing her as a child really took hold during those years of young adulthood. She looked for answers and received the best wisdom of our medical system. Doctors, psychiatrists, hospital programs. She looked for help and received the best nurture of her family and her church. She was a recipient of many acts of love and many, many prayers. But Laurel didn't get well. She didn't get better. And after years of trying to cope, she ended it all. Now, this was for me my first real experience of loss, my first encounter with tragedy. It shattered my faith, my expectations about life, and my expectations about life with God. I mean, shouldn't Laurel have been victorious? I mean, her name, Laurel, the wreath they give to champions. Shouldn't God have answered our prayers? I mean, we said just so many. Doesn't God want us to enjoy the world God has created? All of a sudden, the world grew dark, ugly. It seemed that God had abandoned us, that God had abandoned her. And yet through the weeks that followed, there were just so many things I couldn't help but notice. I mean, I couldn't help but notice the many kindnesses that were shown to my family. People from the church came over just to spend time with us, just to be present with us. They didn't know what to say. They were just there. People from the community, I mean, even strangers dropped by with gifts of food and flowers. They felt what we were experiencing, and they just needed to reach out somehow. Over the next weeks, I couldn't help but notice the many kindnesses that were shown to my family. Somehow, in the middle of all those dashed expectations about life, about God's life with us, I couldn't deny that somehow God was present there. I'm not telling you this story because I want you to know that I've been through a tragedy. I've only been here for a little over a month. And I already know that, well, I know that anyone over 30 has probably experienced or been touched by something of this, and I know in particular that many of you have shared such losses. And I know we always ask this question. We always think to ourselves, I lose my faith in God if that ever happened to me. We all have experiences where God hasn't lived up to our expectations, where our best hopes have been shattered. Well, could it be, and I'm drawing from today's text to say this, could it be that while God doesn't do everything we want, doesn't live up to our expectations, that somehow God is still present with us, actively caring for us, creating a better world than we could imagine? Maybe like John, we need to stop worrying about what we think Jesus should be doing. And maybe with the simple trust of a child, we might welcome what Jesus is doing. May God give us faith. May God give us trust. Amen.